Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We'll be talking about conscious compassionate awareness. In today's show, we'll also be responding to your email questions and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing pretty well.
Good.
Watching a lot of conditioning.
Ah, good. Better to be watching it than caught in it, right?
Being it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's great.
Is there any particular content you'd like to tell us about? Or?
Well, I've noticed that I've had some life changes recently with a new baby, and I noticed that even before the baby, conditioning is sort of continually painting a picture of my life.
Uh-huh.
And it's painting it pretty or it's painting it ugly.
Uh-huh.
And it just goes back and forth.
Uh-huh. So it's going to be this way, it's going to be great, it's going to be, oh my God, it's over.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've realized that whether it's pretty or ugly is not the issue. It's the painting that's the problem.
Yeah, because that system that's trying to make you believe that actually doesn't have any idea what's going to happen.
That's exactly so.
Yeah, the only thing that it's able to do is kind of control your emotional reaction to life right now.
Yes. Yes. Trying to take me out of whatever's going on, whatever's right here in the moment,
mm-hmm.
into some pretty future or some awful future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, in my experience, the pretty picture for the future is just a setup for the awful.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. It gets you just all caught up in believing some sort of conversation and story about that, and then it can go either way.
Yes.
But it's got you either way.
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
Here. You're off somewhere with it in a story.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It's good to see it, isn't it?
It's an incredible blessing and feels like a miracle to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And brings up a lot of gratitude for this work and this practice.
Yeah, because this is one piece of content, but it's always been doing similar processes.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
If it weren't the baby, it would be something else. And,
yes.
You know, when we look back, as soon as we see it as a process, we can see that it's always been there trying to do this with everything that goes on in our lives.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is going to happen and that's going to, and you're going to feel this way, and oh my God, you better not, and if you do that, then this, and oh, yo, yo, yo. And the reality is, it's all made up.
Yes, yes, it's all made up. Incredible. Thank you for that reminder.
Everything other than being right here breathing in whatever is going on is made up.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's good news.
Yeah, it's so hard to remember, though, when we are caught up.
Yes. And I don't know where to go because we got a stack of callers here and I got a stack of announcements.
You know, we are blessed with abundance.
Yes.
There are worse problems, right?
I guess there are worse problems.
Yeah.
How about if I go quickly through the announcements?
All right.
And then we'll jump to the callers.
Yeah, we'll see who's calling us.
So on the calendar, coming up in a few short days, this Saturday, is the 4th Annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk to support the African Vulnerable Children Project.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting.
We are so wound up about it. It is going to be so much fun.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's at that time now where, okay, it's going to happen, so what about the food and the T-shirts are coming in and the...
Yes.
Yeah, all the activities, and we just, in fact, sent out an email to people reminding them about the school supplies.
Yes.
That was one of the most fun aspects of the walk, is everybody brought school supplies, and then we boxed them up and took them over when we went for this last trip. And I mean, people just can't imagine what it's like. It's like the best Christmas of your life is what those kids are like, and the teachers.
Yeah.
When they see school supplies brought into a school that has no school supplies.
Yeah.
So something like pencils, you know, we just don't get excited in this country, generally speaking, about a box of pencils. But there, it's like it's a gift from God. So, I hope people will stop by their local, whatever their favorite school supply store is, and pick up lots of fun things to send to the kids.
Great. And if you want more information about this, you can go to the Living Compassion website, which is livingcompassion.org, and sign up and register and find out where to go and all that good stuff. And if you're in the Tucson, Arizona area, this coming Thursday, October 20th, Sherry, you're going to be there for Social Venture Network Conference.
Yeah. I don't know what's involved in getting to come to that conference at this late date, but if it's possible, I'll be there actually for a very short time at the beginning, but I think the whole thing would just be marvelous, and it's just a great organization. If people are interested in socially responsible business, that's really what it is. How to do business in the world in a way that helps the world heal from all of the damage we've done to it, and head off into a brighter future.
Great. And their website is svn.org. That's short for socialventurenetwork.org. And then after the Bridge Walk, the Center for Attitudinal Healing is having a conference where you'll also be presenting, Sherry.
Yes. Another great group of people.
Yes. And that's Sunday, I believe. Sherry, is that correct?
Yeah, Sunday. So I mentioned, I think that we were going to be at Bioneers this last weekend, which we were.
Yes.
And a fabulous group of people working on the issues of the environment and society, and how to move more toward seeing the entire, well, of course, you know, from our perspective, we talk about life as being interconnected.
Yeah.
And that's the focus, attempting to see nature and humanity as one community. And so part of what we experienced there was a little glimpse at how much people are doing in this world to make a difference. And for folks who, you know, have as their primary information about what's going on in the world, the regular news, this is just such a bright spot.
Uh-huh.
You know, to just be there with these people who are in this part of the world doing this for this group of people, and here they're doing this for water, and here they're doing this for rivers, and here they're doing this for the polar ice caps, and here there, it's so inspiring. And of course, I am such a fan of spending all of one's life in the presence of inspiring people.
Yes.
And so that was, we get the same thing there with the Center for Attitudinal Healing. You know,
yes.
Making that point that, you know, as we talk about, the quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention. So if we want the world to be different, then we need to focus our attention somewhere that makes the world a different place.
Yes. Yes. And the website for the Center for Attitudinal Healing is www.attitudinalhealing.org. And they have the program there and how to get there and all that kind of good stuff. Sherry, shall we talk to some callers?
Yes, please.
All right. Let's talk to Sheehan Ma from Murphy's. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
You know, I don't know. What I went to with the pencils is the pencils are a gift from God, and this program is and your presence, because what, Sherry, what you said to Michael was so helpful for me. Actually, what I called about was I'm so grateful, like, over Precepts weekend, I came home and got this set of messages that my mother was in the hospital. And so, it's been a strained relationship, particularly with my father, and which I've been working on with the practice, and I actually haven't seen them for 6 years. So sometime in the process, it turns out that the following Monday, she had emergency gallbladder surgery to have her gallbladder out. And I really think it came from the heart. There was this impulse from the heart to get a plane ticket. So Tuesday, I did that. Part of me was trying to unwind it, because, of course, it evoked a lot of voices and a lot of conditioning about going or not going or this or that. And so what I call to talk about or whatever is to... And so I've actually had one meltdown where I've gotten completely identified.
With this is a mistake, I shouldn't be doing this?
Or with that part who was just so, wounded as by things that happened when she was growing up. But has come back after that. So actually I just wanted to call and talk about things that I could do to help come back to center, because without this practice, Sherry, I would never have bought the ticket. And without the practice of actually seeing that I can get identified and I can come back.
Yeah.
And so I thought I just wanted to, I can see that part of this is doing kind of what I project Michael was saying about, this could happen, that could happen. But I just thought, I'm going to cover my bases before I leave.
Well, here's my best encouragement, okay? And that is that you spend a great deal of time with the part of you who is still identified with those wounds.
Okay,
because probably a lot of aspects of you were wounded. There were probably at most of us can go back to any age growing up, and there was at least one major trauma, and probably a lot more than that. But it's the person who is still carrying that, still says this happened to me, and that's the person that you need to be in relationship with, for a couple of reasons. One, you're the only one who can deal with her issues. Your parents can't. We have those kinds of conversations with people, and they don't even know what we're talking about. Well, we always loved you, and you were always difficult. And it's just not helpful to have that conversation. But you can be there, and you can listen to that young person, and you can mentor. And you can actually not allow her to go on this trip. It's your ticket. There's only one ticket, one seat, and the person who's going to sit in that seat is the centered self. Right?
Okay. Yes.
So that would be a huge part of it. And then when you're with your family, to make sure that you set it up in a way that really supports you spending as much time in conscious, compassionate awareness as possible. One of the things the voices like to do is get us in a stressful situation and then convince us that we've got to stop doing all of the things that support us. So you make sure that you get away from people and out and walking, and that there's time to sit and meditate and those kinds of things, to constantly, constantly be bringing yourself back to disidentification from the past and the ability to be present in the future, in the present that you're in.
Okay. Yeah, I was actually, I mean, I've started list making already to, you know, bring my Zafu and bring, so what do you think about this? Because I hear what you're saying about leaving that person at home, and I was actually planning to take this big stuffed rabbit I have, because what I found, I mean, in the terms of this practice, what I found is that that stuffed rabbit becomes the surrogate. So sometimes, so I've actually been sleeping with her a lot lately, because in some ways when, if I start to get identified, if I'm holding the rabbit, then a period, something shifts, and I become the mentor, and the rabbit becomes this part of myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You think that's a good idea?
Well, I think that that's a fine thing to do, and you don't want to encourage that part of you to be on this trip. You know, she doesn't need to be there. And that, you know, that can sound kind of impossible. It's like, how do I keep her from going?
Yep, exactly.
But and I don't know when you're going, but part of the work can be practicing that. You know, we have our time at this time of day or this time of the evening or whatever, and we spend time together. So, you know, it's a 6-year-old or a 4-year-old or a 13-year-old,
or
whatever. Mm-hmm. And this is our time to work on things from the past and have these conversations, and for you to, you know, just to develop and deepen that relationship, so that when something gets triggered, she turns to you for support rather than, you know, you identifying with her and letting somebody come in and go off on whatever they have going about your parents and what happened.
Uh-huh.
So that's the way that we move ourselves into a position of being able to say, no, you don't get to come out now. You don't get to be here now. We can talk about it later. We add our time to talk about these things. But what we're training ourselves to do is direct our attention so that kind of takeover doesn't happen. We don't, whether it's something from the past, like an aspect of the personality, or if it's a person who struggles with anger, and it feels like it's great, I'm there, and then all of a sudden I'm just in a fury. Well, that's a loss of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're training ourselves to do is be there so that I watch that habit of getting angry arise, and I make a conscious choice not to go with it. It doesn't mean that I won't review what happened and how I heard what somebody said to me or what they did and that sort of thing, but I'm there and present. It's not, there's no room for a takeover,
mm-hmm.
where suddenly I'm just unconscious and acting out of some old karma.
Yeah, that's the part that, I don't know, if it's conditioning that's telling me, well, that's, you know, like the worst case scenario is basically, yeah, to have this, to not be present and have a
takeover.
So
that's why you have to go there prepared to take care of yourself in that way. And it could be that, you know, you split it up a half hour and a half hour. You know, you spend a half hour with your parents and a half hour off by yourself. And the thing about it is, you get to make the rules. If you start hearing voices that say, oh, well, you can't do that, that's selfish, what are they going to do? The answer is, no, it's not, and it doesn't matter. What I'm doing is everything that I can do to end this karma.
Well, one of the things I've already talked to my parents and said, yes, and, you know, I'm not going to spend all my time with you. Because, you know, if I look at what I've done in the past, it's basically I go there and then I totally, like, swim in this soup and I don't do anything.
No. You
on
can't,
my end, I can't do that.
No, and it's that bad, I truly go with a half hour, half hour.
Yeah.
We come in, we sit and visit, and then I need to go for a walk. So I'll see you in about a half an hour. And you keep your schedule. And the thing about it, it's like making a commitment to that, and then it doesn't matter what any voice says. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing. You know, you can get a watch that you can set. And you just set your watch, and it goes off every half hour. and you look to see where you need to be this half hour, and you do it, and there's no being talked out of it.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you'll let us know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, that's, absolutely. I'll call you back on
the
way now.
Good.
Because actually, the truth is, I'm actually going next week after the bridge walk, since I'm already down in the Bay Area. So I'm
going
to take that week between the bridge walk and the celebration to go back.
All right. Well, then you have some time to practice.
Yes.
Really deepening the relationship with that part of you who feels wounded, and making an agreement about how you're going to handle this so that you can be successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Well, I also wanted to express gratitude. I mean, because I've actually been talking to both my parents almost every day since I got back, and it's pretty much the facilitation, like that facilitation retreat and learning to facilitate. So basically it's like I switch into that person who is more facilitating or more kind of directing the conversation.
Yes.
Facilitating doesn't.
Yeah, doing the reflective listening.
Yeah. Asking questions and this kind of thing. And just, and that's actually been really helpful.
Yeah, it's hard to facilitate and get identified, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is why we are so gung-ho about this facilitation.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry.
Take care.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Shin Ma. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to break for a couple minutes, and we'll be back with you very soon. Coming up next on Open Air, in our second segment, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be back with you very soon. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, it's a bountiful day here. We have three callers lined up.
Wow.
I'd like to welcome Greta from Washington. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Greta.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Well, Sherry, I wanted to continue a previous conversation, if I could.
Okay.
You and I talked a little while ago about spiritual practice and new practice opportunities being offered by Living Compassion. And I've been looking at that since we talked, and some other information has come out through email class and email. And I started to put it all together last night, I guess, and which is why I called and just moved right into it. You know, kind of the genesis of all that questioning in my mind, I've always kind of run into this real block of resistance since the opportunity for service work has been introduced to the practice,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just coming to the monastery working on myself.
Uh-huh.
And then taking that out into the world, however I define that.
Uh-huh.
And what I realized last night, I had a conversation with someone else, and after I hung up the phone, I just had this thought about how important it is to have a spiritual teacher who you cannot con, you know, who sees through everything. And that teacher is offering you, you know, you have, at some point, you're taking it on faith that the teacher is offering you, you know, their best support for your movement to end suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thoroughly convinced of all the arguments that were being made against participation.
Uh-huh.
Because they were logical and they were sound and they were very rational.
Uh-huh.
But what I'm wondering about and what I'm just starting to look at a little bit is, what is this resistance? It's very visceral. It makes me very sad and almost afraid when I start to bump into it.
Uh-huh.
Like that's too much. You're asking me too much to
uh-huh.
do too much, something I can't do.
Uh-huh.
And so, it just flashed on my mind that is this something to do with survival? Is this something to learn about that survival system that, you know, locks away feelings and, you know, makes some activities safe and acceptable and other things where you might be open to different experiences, you know, especially if you're caring about someone or something, then you're introducing the possibility that you're going to get hurt.
Yes. Yes. And, of course, now, I just want to underline that notion just occurred to you, right? It just kind of appeared in your conscious awareness.
Sherry, I have some information. We've lost Greta.
Oh, no!
And I'm hoping that she'll call back very soon.
Oh, I hope so. Because this is so big.
It is big.
Yeah, I hope some conditioning didn't leap in there and destroy the phone connection.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I'm hoping she'll call back in just
yeah.
a moment.
Yeah. In the meantime, it sounds like you have somebody else there.
Yes. Let's talk to our next caller. I'd like to welcome Diane from San Jose. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Well, I wanted to call and kind of give you a report back.
Okay.
But I feel kind of nervous because I'm having like an egocentric karma conditioning festival saying I shouldn't have called.
And the reason you shouldn't have called is?
Well, you know, it's more lies. So I, you know,
uh-huh.
I'm not even going to ask it.
Okay.
And that's kind of what I wanted to report back about is I had called a couple weeks ago because I had been looking at how I feel disappointed. And then how some other things happen, and I feel elated.
Uh-huh.
And you had suggested, I forgot kind of, I wrote things down because I always, you know, I'm like forgetting. But anyway, the thing that, I got this work assignment that I really, really wanted, the one I was elated about.
Uh-huh.
And someone in me, I don't know who it was, but there was this like this, see like the, this, I have the no story rule. When something really bad happens, my mind tries to tell a story and I'm like, please, no stories.
Uh-huh.
So when something good happens, I have been breaking the no story rule. So anyway, there was somebody who's thinking, oh, this is the best agency ever and it's going to mean all this stuff. And what you had advised or suggested last time is notice like this stuff doesn't mean anything. And when I engage in this storytelling and or just agreeing that it will mean something, someone's saying it means something, and if I agree and participate in that, to me, I'm thinking that's like throwing gas on a fire.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, so then someone thought, oh, this is the best ever. So I got this assignment. And I had an intense week and a half of doing the work. And during the time I was doing the work, and it's something I love doing, but there would be these periods where a voice would say I couldn't do it. And it was so real, like mm-hmm. I can't do it. So I'd feel panic, and then that would be my mindfulness bell. And I just decided to just act as if that was just a lie,
uh-huh.
that one saying I couldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, it was telling me I couldn't do it. And so what I do when I work is I create tasks because I do get panicky sometimes when I do this kind of work because I love this work. But there's this other part going, you can't do it. And then I freak out. Mm-hmm. So I create, like, task lists. So, like, even if I'm panicking, I can stop and be calm and be with myself. But I can just go, well, I can do this now. I can do this.
That's right. I can do this piece.
Uh-huh. Yes. And then from there, I'm like, wow, it was telling me I couldn't do this type of thing, and look, I think I did this very well. So that was happening throughout the process.
So let me ask you this. All the time, it's telling you that you can't do it, you're doing it.
Yes. Yes.
I just love that. I just...
Yeah,
I just,
but I'm believing it. But the thing happens, I believe this voice, and then it's sort of like, like, wow, wait, that's not, I don't think that's true. And I was trying to tap into, I went to a workshop with you where you had a few people stand up and you said, well, this one is like you, and this one is like a little vulnerable child, and then this is egocentric karmic conditioning yammering until the little child believes it, and then you feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to tap into sensing that the one of being able to clearly identify who's feeling bad.
Uh-huh.
But I was overwhelmed with feeling bad. So I think I heard this at your workshop or something or somewhere, but like centering is mentoring. So even if I was really believing I couldn't do it, or the things it was telling me about why I couldn't do it, I was saying, well, you know what, inside I can find someone who can do it.
Uh-huh.
And then if I just kind of stayed with the panic and experienced the sensations of the panic and just said, well, okay, well, here's my task list. Oh, I was going to do this now, and I can do this while I'm panicking.
Right.
And then, I turned it in, and I met with this person today for our first kind of thing that we do with this. And this person is so encouraging, and
yeah.
And I kind of actually contacted this person to say I would do something for free, and now I'm like doing something really good for them.
Uh-huh.
that I would have never dreamed from. Okay, so now there's this voice saying, well, you know what, this grape isn't very good. So the one that was telling me this is like the best thing ever to work for these people.
Right.
So it's just so, the thing is though, I'm believing it all the time. Like I was the youngest child, so people in my family would tell me anything and I would believe it. And when I grew up, it was like, man, I had these beliefs and I was like, you know what, that's so not true. When I went to school and learned about, you know, just, you know, like the factual things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like there's still that part of me that just is believing these lies.
Yeah, and so it, once again, it's a young part of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love that thing. I don't think I ever said it, but I'm going to say it now. Centering is mentoring. So, you know, I mean, I've made that point, but never quite in such a catchy fashion as you just said it. And so, right, there's a part of you who is feeling like, I can't do this. And so we look around and say, okay, well, then who can? And the point that you make that is, to me, the most valuable of all is, I can do this even as all of these feelings are going on.
Yes.
We're so taught to believe that if I'm feeling this, then it means this. So if I'm feeling panicky or bad or whatever, then I need to be paralyzed. But what you've proved is, no, I can be feeling all of these feelings and go right on and complete this task.
Well, you know, it's like there's this loudspeaker in the back of my neck, so I'm thinking that I'm broadcasting.
Uh-huh.
I'm not broadcasting it. It's like a bad station that I can't turn off.
Right. Right. Yeah, and so there it is. There you're stuck in this place where it's talk radio.
Yeah,
and not our kind of talk radio. You know, the other kind of talk radio, and it's just going on. And then you are required to go ahead and do whatever it is that you need to do as that's happening. And once you get it that those feelings don't mean anything, there's really no reason to have the feelings.
I'm hoping they go away.
I wouldn't rush into anything, but I can encourage you that, in fact, they will.
Because what it is the panic alerts me, because I'm just like going along going, oh, okay, well, engaged in the work, and then there's voice, well, you know what, you can't do this, and it's going to be a catastrophe, or you can't do this because you're a big loser, or just like whatever it's saying.
Right.
And then I'm like, snap, and that's like, oh, man, I can't, and it's like, wait a second, where'd that come from?
Yeah, wait a minute, wait, whoa, 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 that's not true.
But I'm believing it, but my body's believing it. So
well, your body is reacting to it, but that's not the same as believing it. So, you know, if somebody came up behind you, you know, you're sitting there quietly at your desk and somebody sneaks up behind you and screams at the top of their lungs, your body would react to that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the same as believing that you're in danger or, you know, whatever story would be made up about it. That would come later, and that would involve conditioned mind. So once you get it that story isn't true and it's not necessary, then when the body starts panicking, you can, because the voice is saying all of these really scary things,
yes.
Then you can move into that centered mentoring place. And you can offer another perspective, and the body will calm down. The other thing that I like about what you're saying is that what you've set up for yourself is the way monastic training is done. We have a schedule and we follow it. And the freedom in that is extraordinary. Again, conditioned mind would tell us freedom is doing whatever you want to do any time of the day or night. But what people fall into is conditioning is saying my freedom is you doing whatever I want you to do at any time of the day or night. And it makes people extremely miserable to try to follow conditioning's directions around through life. So you have a schedule. I'm going to do this, 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 this. You have your little task list, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter what the voices are saying or what the body is doing or what emotions are arising. What do I need to do? That. Okay, I can do that. The bell rings, I go meditate. The bell rings, I go to work. The bell rings, I go to eat. All of that conditioned reaction to life becomes irrelevant because I know the thing that is here for me to do now in this moment, and this I can do.
To me, it seems like training. You know, I've seen that movie, What the Bleep, like a zillion times. And uh-huh. about the pep, I call them, I'm trying to develop the peptides of acceptance, mm-hmm. you know, just to change, to radically alter how I'm doing things. So I'm seeking out things that initiate this, which seem to be the things I like the most and that terrify me the most.
Yes, and in Dr. Jeffrey Schwartz, who is just such a hero of mine in his book, The Mind and the Brain, I think it's in this one. It's a huge, thick book. You could just send him the Prices book, but don't bother to read it because I'm going to tell you exactly what's in it.
Okay.
He does this simple process with mindfulness training. Now, he's a big brain guy, and what he teaches his patients is simple mindfulness. Something arises, and they recognize what it is. Oh, that's, in our lingo, we would say, oh, that's conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asks you to decide on what you would like to turn your attention to instead. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's usually the breath. And what he does with people is he does a brain image of them.
But, whoa.
Okay? And 4 months after doing this simple practice, he does another image, and the pathways have visibly changed.
Wow.
4 months. And this is with adults. So the process that you're doing is actually altering the pathways, and in a really shockingly short period of time, we are no longer victimized by these karmic habit patterns.
See, what I was thinking was, so now I'm confident. I want to do more work for these people, and this person's like, man, I'll get to do something even better next time. So now I'm thinking, well, wow, what's egocentric karma condition have in store? Will it
exactly?
Like,
and you know
now,
what?
You know,
is you it, know what? This is the step that you take that makes your life an outrageously exciting adventure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And yes, Diane, you're listening to Open Air with Cher Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to break, and we'll be back with you very soon. Coming up in our next and final segment of this week's Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your phone calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be back with you in a few minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have Greta back, and then we have two other callers after Greta.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Greta on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Okay.
I have no idea where the phone cut out.
Well, here we are again.
Okay, well, I guess I could narrow my question to some guidance in the regard of trying to assess or how to watch whether this resistance I'm sensing is a survival system, so some very young self that's really shut off or shut down, or egocentric karmic conditioning just really, you know, blocking any movement in that direction toward my heart.
Yeah. Well, of course, I'm going to vote for choice number two, which is not surprising. You know, if we if we just stick with that as the focus of it, the thing that we know is that we cannot be in a position of being moved by the plight of another and keep our hearts closed. You know, it's really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the way that egocentric karmic conditioning keeps the system in place is by making our world as constant as possible. So, yes, we're allowed to learn new things, but the survival system brings it in such a way that we make it our own. So I'm allowed to be aware, and I'm allowed to change a little bit. I'm allowed to change at a certain pace. But when it gets to going too fast, when the conditioned mind begins to feel like it's losing control, that's the time that the brakes are put on. And there's resistance. Because if you do start something like service work that is not of your choosing, because probably everybody listening to this show does some kind of service work. You know, that's we could say that a lot of things that we do in our life are service. A lot of people do work that really is a service to the world. But this is that extra, you know, going that extra step, and doing it when it's somebody else's idea of the mm-hmm. way to do it. I mean, you can't do that and stay the same person. I mean, it's just going to mess with a person's identity, something fierce, which, of course, is why I suggest it.
Well, I didn't quite put it together in that. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and it has been said before, but I just, you know, the blockage was so strong, I just wasn't seeing through that.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, well, this is not for me.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And we are meant, we are designed, we are heavily, heavily programmed to believe that. When the voice says quietly, well, this is just not for me, it's hard, it's really hard not to assume that the voice is talking about me.
Right, right.
And yet, you know, when we take that little half step back, we get it that, oh, conditioned mind is saying this is not for me, and that's really true. It's not for conditioned mind. In fact, it's part of a very definite, organized campaign to eliminate the control conditioned mind has over a person's life. So, you know, we can't really fault conditioned mind for not wanting to be enthusiastic about this project.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, and it is true that it is helpful to have somebody that we trust offering these things to us, because otherwise there's no alternative. You know, we just look to what we know. Out at the Bioneers Conference over the weekend, Bernice Regan, I think is how she pronounces
mm-hmm.
her name, from Sweet Honey and the Rock, was there. And she was talking, she was giving this marvelous talk, and there was just this little line in the middle of it where she said, she was talking about, you know, in America, we think we're brilliant. You know, we are pretty convinced of our own brilliance. And she said, and we are brilliant. We're brilliant about what we've learned. And it was just, you know, I wanted to stand up and say, stop, stop, for just a, let's all take that in. Because what she was saying was, we're brilliant within our conditioned mind.
Right.
But anything that's outside our conditioned mind is viewed by conditioned mind as threatening and dangerous and suspect. So if we have somebody we trust who says, nah, this is a safe place to go. In fact, this is going to, you know, this is going to bring you greater freedom. This is going to open your heart. This is going to bring more joy into your life. Well, then if we trust that person, we have to go, ooh, the information I'm getting says this, but this other person says, so, okay, well, maybe I'll try it and see what happens.
Well, it was funny because I was when I hung up the phone and I was talking to this person, I said, you know, that very thing she's saying to me is why we need a spiritual teacher, because we, and that's what I started my conversation with, we have to have somebody we trust and also who we can't con. And that was exactly what I needed to hear, because I wasn't looking at this situation that way.
Uh-huh.
It was like, well, all the other teachings, but not this one.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I just want to applaud your awareness practice.
Well, I'm grateful to have the opportunity to get it reinforced, because
yeah.
It's been a challenge, but it's what you and I were talking about why you have a teacher and you stick with that teacher. You don't go around saying, well, I don't like this, so I'll find somebody else.
Yeah, somebody who will tell me what I want to hear.
Exactly.
Somebody who will agree with me. You know, I kid people about that at the monastery. You know, they've been at the monastery for a while, and they, you know, they get really unhappy. And they're starting to tell me how great their life was before they came into the monastery. I say, now, I understand that you're listening to that and you're believing that, but I just want you to remember that it was bad enough that it drove you to a Zen monastery. So, don't you know, you can convince yourself that it was great if you want to, but I'm not going along with that.
Right.
Yeah, if it was that great... So it's the same, that same process.
Right.
Yeah, if conditioned mind had been that good at directing your life, it wouldn't have driven you to an awareness practice.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Glad you got that line back together.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Greta. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we're running out of time here.
I know, and there are those two people. And, you know, as we were going along this evening, I remembered saying to a caller last week, okay, we have to continue this next week.
Yeah.
So
so it's going to be next week again.
Next week again. And so thank you to those people who stayed with us with for the possibility that it was going to work. I hope they don't give up, but instead get in the queue earlier next week.
Yes, that'd be great, and we'd love to talk to them next week.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Sherry. It's been a great show.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for making this happen.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Good night.
Good night.